चैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूप कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरुश्रुत पदकमलं श्रीगुरुं वैष्णवंश्च श्रीरूपं सागरजातं सगणरघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साधवैतं सावधूतं परिजन सहितं कृष्ण चैतन्य देवं श्रीराधा कृष्ण पादान् सगण ललिता श्री विशाखावितंश्च हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधु दीन बंधु जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमस्ते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी विश्वभानु सुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्येव पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधा श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे जय श्री प्रभुपाद जय श्री प्रभुपाद सुखी ऑफर टू श्री चैतन्य महाप्रभु नमो वृंदावदन्याय कृष्ण प्रेम पदाय ते कृष्णाय कृष्ण चैतन्य नामिने श्रीषे नमः I offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Lord Shri Krishna Chaitanya, who is more magnanimous than any other avatara, even Krishna himself, because he is bestowing freely what no one else has ever given, that is Krishna Prema. Krishna Varnam Trisha Krishnam Sangva Panga Astra Pashat Yadnahi Sankirtana Prayer Yajanti Sumedasah. Who constantly sings the names of Krishna. Although his complexion is not blackish, he is Krishna himself. He is accompanied by his associates, servants, weapons, and confidential companions. Now, to six Goswamis of Vrindavan. Namo Nana Sastra Vicharanaika Nipunau Shada Dharma Samsthapakau Loka Nam Hitakarinau Tribhuvane Manyau Sharanyakarau Radha Krishna Padaravinda Bhajana Anandena Mattalikau वंदे रूप सनातन रघुयुगौ श्री जीव गोपालकौ हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे Let's read the translation. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the six Goswamis, namely Shri Sanatana Goswami, Shri Rupa Goswami, Shri Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, Shri Raghunath Das Goswami, Shri Jiva Goswami, and Shri Gopal Bhatta Goswami, who are very expert in scrutinizingly studying all the revealed scriptures with the aim of establishing eternal religious principles for the benefit of all human beings. Thus, they are honored all over the three worlds, and they are worth taking shelter of because they are absorbed in the mood of the gopis and are engaged in the transcendental loving service of Shri Shri Radha and Krishna.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Narayanam Namaskritya Narayanam Chaiva Narottamam Devim Saraswatim Vyasam ततो जयम् उदीरयत् नष्ट प्रायेषु भद्रेषु त्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्टिकी
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Shri Prabhupada, Jai Shri Prabhupada, Govinda Madhi Purushanam Dhanandayami. Hare Krishna, let me first turn the camera. Hare Krishna, everyone. Please accept my humble obeisances. All worship to you. So, let's see. You're still coming. Okay, I was going to take the question before we start. That the question was sent to me. The Atul Prabhu, but he himself is, I'm afraid he's not here, but hopefully soon he'll join us. So probably I was planning to tackle right in the beginning, but since he's not here, I think I'll wait till the end of this class. Hopefully he'll come. Because he had some very interesting question, you know. And I thought the answers to that question was so important, I thought I would share with the whole class. Again, welcome back. So, previous week, the highlight of the previous week's class was that as devotees, we get to receive the mercy of the Lord so that even with our material eyes, we can get to see the Lord face to face, even the Lord is so spiritual. So the question is, how with our material eyes can we see the Lord's spiritual form? But that is, that is the mercy of the Lord. If He wishes to reveal Himself, then everything is possible. That is achievable. But that is the hallmark of Krishna consciousness. So that was the real, the biggest highlight of last week's class, you know. So let us begin with today's class. And as Makarand Prabhu is showing this first PowerPoint, now we are in lesson 12. And the lesson 12 themes are right here, listed here. So the text are 51 to 54. And it's about Sri Rishabhadeva, the empowered incarnation of Krishna, as an example to show the Lord's transcendental form, eternal, transcendental, and all-pervading form. You know, so as an illustration here, Rishabhadeva is listed here. So there are four themes actually. The text 51, it's all about the Lord Shri Krishna, whose form is the supreme absolute reality, because we have been hearing right from beginning that the absolute truth, the absolute reality is visualized, actually is realized in three aspects. They are one and the same, but depending upon the worshipper's qualifications, they are able to pursue three aspects of it: Brahman realization, Paramatma realization, and Bhagavan realization. and that is that famous Vadastatvati Vadanti verse about Brahmeti Paramatmayate Bhagavaneti Yeti Shabdayate. So that verse tells us that absolute truth, what is the hallmark, what is the major feature of that, that it is Advaya Brahma, Advaya Jnana. Advaya Jnana means one without the second. Jnana, knowledge, here it is actually the supreme consciousness. So that consciousness which is one without the second, Advaya. And the further feature we have been hearing about it. So that is what now, and later on we also heard about that feature is the complete realization is Bhagavan. So absolute truth, absolute reality is a person, and that is a supreme person, Bhagavan, with all six opulences, you know. And then, so here we are hearing more about that. The Lord's form is all about his Swarupa Shakti, internal potency, and that is the supreme reality, you know. So that is all about the Supreme Lord. So as to illustrate, as I just said, the example here Jiva Goswami gives about Sri Rishabhadev. So how about Rishabhadev's body? So that is also transcendental. Rishabhadev is a Jiva Tattva, but empowered incarnation, Shakti Avesha Avatara, you know. So we are going to learn more about what is Avesha Avatara, you know. So there is, actually there are four verses, 52 and 53 and 54, as to continuation of that Lord's form describing by and now Devaki's prayers when Krishna first appeared in Kamsa's prison. First he appeared as a four-armed Vishnu form to make both Devaki and Vasudevji realize, as they wished earlier in previous lifetimes, they wanted to have the Lord as their son. So just to ensure them, just to make sure that we understand that Lord first appeared as Lord Vishnu, four-armed form, carrying Shankh Chakra Gada and Mace, you know, and Sudarshan Chakra. And then by the request of Devaki, he later turns into a human baby. But there Devaki actually offers prayers, and then she describes about God's transcendental form. So that prayer is very, very important here, Srila Jiva Goswami quotes in the context of this particular theme. And then the last verse in this today's class is text 55, that just like, you know, Srila Rishabhadev, all even partial incarnations of Krishna, they are also transcendental, all pervading and eternal. So that is major theme actually. So let's continue next PowerPoint. So here first we will see, before we take up the first theme, text 51, what we have so far heard about it. So here a summary highlights of what we have so far heard about insofar as Krishna's transcendental form is concerned. So first, of course, indeed, the supreme absolute truth, it is eternal. It is absolute truth because it is eternal. And it is all-pervading. But the major aspect in terms of all-pervading, it's not just in terms of its potencies or its energies, but Krishna's personal form, that itself is all-pervading. So that is kind of hard to visualize, but that is actually the super soul expansion, you know. A super soul is a person situated in everyone's heart, and also he is in every atom of the universe. So that is what the all-pervading form. And it is transcendental. What is what transcendental means? Transcendental means, unlike the living entities, the conditioned souls, we are all under the influence of the three modes of material nature, Sattvam, Rajas, Tamas, and goodness, passion and ignorance. But Lord's body is beyond that. That is called transcendental, Shuddha Sattva, pure mode of goodness. And he is the supreme shelter of everything and everyone, Ashray Tattva, that we heard from Srimad Bhagavatam, second canto, second canto, 10th chapter. We discuss at length. And that as we just heard, Lord's form is transcendental. That means he has not a tinge of material elements within him, gross or subtle. Now that is also kind of a little bit hard to understand, because we have been hearing this entire cosmos, material world, is within him. And he is within material world also, and every atom of the universe. So how is it that we will see that actually? And he is self-luminous, all effulgent. In fact, Krishna's body, that is the Brahma Jyoti, is also called, that is self effulgent. And last but not the least point, this is what the Krishna's form, in which all the statements of the Shruti Shastra, they find reconciliation. That means even the opposing elements, they come in a very harmonious way. Just like Lord's purposes, they are functionally at complete opposition to one another, and yet they coexist in Lord's form, and they coexist in complete harmony. So same way here also, all the differing statements, contradictory statements that is given in Vedas, Vedic scriptures, Shruti Shastra, they are also reconciled when we talk about Krishna's form. And so all these things were actually experienced, witnessed by Lord Brahma, and we have been hearing from verses quite extensively. Lord Brahma offers prayers in quite a few different places in Srimad Bhagavatam. Predominantly we hear when at the dawn of creation, when nothing else was there, and Brahma himself was just created by Garbhadakshaya Vishnu from his navel and the lotus stem. And there Brahma actually offers prayers when he was trying to find out who he was and where did he come from, and he couldn't find on his attempts. And that's why he was wondering what to do. At that time, he loudly all over, tapaha, tapaha, tapaha. That means he must perform austerities. So he performed great austerities right there, and Lord was very pleased. And then Lord actually showed himself, revealed himself to him within his heart, and he initiated him into Chatushloki Bhagavatam verses. That's when Brahmaji is offering prayers. So that we have been hearing quite a bit about that. And then also Brahma offers prayers when he himself became bewildered by Krishna's Maya potency, and he started testing that. He stole Krishna when in Vrindavan. He stole Krishna's cows and his coward friends. But then to his utter surprise, he found out Krishna himself replicated himself in exact forms as his old coward boys and the calves, an exact duplicate, exact replicates. And then he saw that in the next moment, they all, to him, they all showed themselves as Vishnumurtis, exactly. Just to make him realize. Then he realized that this little boy was indeed the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then he realized his audacity and his offense that he committed at the lotus feet of Krishna, because he took his friends and his cows away from him. And so he interfered in Lord's pastimes. And become very, very repentant and he offers prayer. So there also, those prayers also, very revealing points are there actually. So all these prayers are very, very important actually. And remember, Brahma as an authorized supreme authority of that, he is one of the 12 Mahajanas, those great souls who are actually responsible by their appointed by Krishna to introduce the religious principles for the humanity in general. So he is obviously he's the one of the authority on that, on the religious principles. So in order to make this point in this particular chapter, he clearly describes in first of all three verses actually. Now again I'm going to reiterate the point here. In fact, that relates to Atul Prabhu's questions also, and when he joins us, I'll try to answer his question probably at the end of the class. Is he here now? I guess not, right? He's not here. So we'll see. So the point we have been making here, it is yes indeed quite difficult to understand Jiva Goswami's sandarvas that now we've been in this second module actually, Bhagavad Sandarbha. But once you understand the way he takes a statement from Srimad Bhagavatam and then using that statement, from that he makes a general principle, you know. He establishes a principle as a pramana, you know. So how he does that, in order to understand that, as I figured it out by trial and error, it's very important to understand the verses that he quotes, the verses he cites, especially and word by word meaning of that, and then you connect those dots, and then you will begin to visualize the actual picture which Srimad, what Srila Jiva Goswami is painting to us actually. So what I've been doing, because of time constraint, first those key verses, first few verses, I try to explain. Rather, because if I try to explain that great detail in every verse, then it's going to be very, very difficult to finish the lesson in time, you know. But basically, that is the approach I've taken, and I've been able to understand. So hopefully, you will also understand that way by the mercy of Srila Jiva Goswami. So let's do the same exercise now also. Next PowerPoint, Prabhuji. So we begin with the text 51. So what is it he is going to establish here? And that is given right there, that theme. The Lord's form is the supreme absolute reality. So that is the theme that he is establishing. And here are the key verses actually. The three key verses that he is quoting here from Brahmaji's prayers. So first verse here, this is the third canto, ninth chapter, text 2. So 2, 3 and 4 we will discuss here. So, Rupam yat etat avabodh raso dayan, raso udayen, sashvam nivritta tamasa sad anugrahaya, adav gohitam avatar shaktatek bijam, nabhi padma bhavanad aham avirasam. So here, deliberately, I tried as much as possible to break down composite words into individual words, and not every word, but as much as possible. It becomes much easier to understand the meaning of those verses, those words in that key verses. So if we, unless we understand the key words, it is going to be very, very difficult how he establishes these particular principles, you know. here he is establishing the Lord's form as a Supreme Absolute Reality. Rupam yad etat avabodrasayadan rasa udayan. So that rasa udayan, that's also that rasa udayan is composite word. It's further broken down to rasa udayan. Udayan means something like suryodaya. So that means rising sun, like udaya means rising, arising something. So here it is actually manifesting, that is what it means. So here the full translation, we will go by the important verses according to, so what Jiva Goswami does here, he quotes a verse and then quite often he would also introduce the commentaries, especially the Sridhar Swami's comments, so it help the Sridhar Swami's comments help us much better to understand that. So here the translation is this: who you, so he's describing, Brahmaji is describing the transcendental form of Krishna that he is seeing himself right in front of him in that little boy, medium-sized boy, but he is the Supreme Person. So he's saying that you are eternally free of ignorance. So there's another feature that's something new we are going to see first time, because we've been hearing quite often that Krishna's form is transcendental, beyond the modes of material nature. So how does he's here is in a very novel way we are seeing Jiva Goswami makes us understand that actually that here he's saying the Lord's form is free of ignorance, the mode of ignorance, that is tamasa, and how is it that, and it is due to because he is the upsurge that, that let's say rasa dayon udayan. So because of this the manifestation, because Krishna possesses this knowledge potency. Remember, I told you that Krishna has, we discussed this theme, Krishna's potency in great detail. Broadly speaking, Krishna has three different potencies: the antaranga shakti, that is the internal potency; bahiranga shakti, that is external potency, maya; and the third is the intermediary, that is the marginal potency, and that be the living entities. So each of those are also further subdivided. For instance, the internal potency, Shorupa Shakti, that is the Chita Shakti. That is divided into three subcategories: the Sandini Shakti, that is eternality, and Samavit Shakti, that is the knowledge or the cognitions potency, and then of course the Ladini Shakti, bliss. So here Brahmaji is saying that because you have this Samavit Shakti, the knowledge potency, because wherever there is a knowledge, what is ignorance? Ignorance means lack of knowledge. But you already have the knowledge, you are the source of all the knowledge in the universe. Because of that, there is no tamas, there is no andhakara, there is no darkness. Because when there is a, how do you define andhakara? How do you define darkness? Then there is no light, then there is a darkness. So here, when there is no knowledge, then darkness. But he is the knowledge that gives us transcendental knowledge. So clearly, tamas does not exist within him. And then Sridhar Swami explains further that the modes of material nature, they work cooperatively with each other. All three modes must be there. In the beginning of the creation, in complete equilibrium, this is called Pradhana. The three modes are there, but they are in complete equilibrium with each other. So that when Krishna's time potency within his super soul expansion, when that activates Pradhana, then the three modes of material nature becomes activated. So that is how it becomes a button. If one of the modes are missing, then the other two modes cannot work like that. So all three modes must be there actually. So material mode of goodness, material mode of passion, and material mode of ignorance, they all must be there. So when there is a no tamasa within Krishna, then of course two modes cannot be there. They all cannot exist either, you know. So there is another very novel way of proving that Krishna is transcendental. So this form is saying, so he has assumed this particular form from the very beginning to bless the true. True means are the true. Those are his devotees. And from there, the Sad Anugrahaya, Anugraha means to show them Anukampa, compassion. And those who are Sad means they are, Sad means true. But that means here it is, his devotees. So Brahmaji also said that I even myself have appeared from its lotus navel, which is my home, that is Garbhodaksha Vishnu's navel, the lotus stem develops. The top of the lotus stem is lotus flower, you know, in which that's the home of Brahmaji. So here are Sridhar Swami's comments here. So see, these comments help us much deeper realization of the verse. Why Srila Jiva Goswami quotes, and how from this verse this particular statement, this particular theme emerges, you know. So here, of course, the possible objection by the Lord will come back in a while. First, we'll understand those, what are those points actually. So what, because here Brahmaji is glorifying Krishna's form, so just to test Brahmaji, so here a possible objection might come from the Lord, that you are glorifying so much, but you also know that the cosmic manifestation also come from me. Material elements, I am the source of all the material elements, senses and so on like that. So how do you say that I am the transcendental? So that's because he said that you don't have any tamas, you know. That means you are transcendental. And yet from me, so that's another, that possible objection might come to a lot of us also actually, that how one who within him all the material universe is situated, and he himself is situated within the material world, and yet is claimed that there is not a tinge of materialism within Krishna. How to understand that, you know? So that is what he is posing that question. And Brahmaji is answering that question in this verse itself, actually, you know. So anticipating that, Brahmaji also particular verse in little greater details. Next, PowerPoint. So here, Sridhar Swami actually help us understand that. So Brahmaji stresses that the very form he's saying, this Etad Rupam, this particular form of yours, actually, he's saying, is the manifestation. Udayam, you know, rising, you know, of the taste of knowledge, the knowledge of yourself, Bhagavat Tattva Vijnanam, that knowledge is also like a nectar actually, rasa, you know, and so that rasa is also pure consciousness. Our bodha rasa udayam, our bodha means this knowledge actually, knowledge about yourself, my Lord. Your form is itself is a knowledge actually, and that is a nectar rasa, and that is arising, that is manifestly, and that is thus eternally free from tamas. I just explained to you. So there is no tamas in the Lord, because Lord is the personification of the knowledge. Knowledge potency is there within him, the samavit shakti. So when there is no tamas, then clearly then there cannot be rajas and sattvam also cannot exist. Now mode of pure goodness is different than the material mode of goodness. So don't confuse with that. Okay, the second point he's saying, this eternally free from ignorance, tamas, implies that the absence of mode of goodness and passion. So that I just explained to you that point. So next phrase, Adau Grahitam Avatar Shataika Bijam. The second point is raising this box, that right from the beginning, actually, Grahitam means that you form right there, you are you're within situating there, your form is actually the same form which is the fountainhead of all the other avatars, all other incarnations. So it is like a seed, bijam. There are 100 shataika, shata means 100. Hundreds and hundreds of expansions arises, Gautam is here, many arises from your, so you are the original source of all the incarnations, comes from within you actually. So he is the original form of the absolute truth, compared to the seed, that bijam actually, he is compared with a bij, just like a seed of a tree. The entire tree is the information, the program is there within that seed. From the seed, the entire tree takes place actually. Later on, it manifests. The same way from your, this particular form, so you, all the forms, all the expansions are situated within you actually. That's what he's saying actually. Hundreds of other incarnations arise. Avatar Shataika, hundreds. Therefore, the original seed form is the fountainhead of all that arise. So you are called, also called Avatari, you know. So you are the original form of transcendent, and so are all his expansions also the same way. Next PowerPoint. So here, as I just told you, Brahma, you already anticipate a particular objection, that you are saying that I am transcendental, there is not a tinge of materialism within me. So how do you explain that from me all the material universes comes from me, and they are also within me? Then how do you say that? Explain. So that is the point, that we might also say the same thing. So to understand, to already anticipating that, Brahmaji is speaking these two verses now. Nataha param pada yada pavata surupam anandam matram anandamatram avikalpam avidhavarchaha pashyame vishva srujam ekam avishvam atman bhutendri atmak madhasatta apashito asne. Nataha, that means I don't know any other form, anything beyond param. Param is this great. So, O Supreme One, I do not perceive. Nata means perceive, perception. Your essence, which is bliss alone. So, there are three adjectives he uses to describe his particular form here. No? So, alone, undifferentiated being, and unobstructed effulgence. Unobstructed means, yes, the offering is uncovered, you know, without cover actually, so that you can see that as anything different from this form. So I therefore take shelter of this form, which is unique, which creates the universe and yet remains distinct from it, being the self and essence of material elements and senses. So here there are three points he is making actually. Avidya Varchaha. Avidya Varcha means the Lord's radiance is without any covering. Therefore, undifferentiated, avikalpam, one nature devoid of distinction. Therefore, your essence is nothing but bliss. So that's because of that. So now it sounds like he's describing Brahman, right? Brahman realization is exactly that it is, which is undifferentiated, all bliss, you know, without any qualities. But that's not what Srila Swami is saying. That he's saying that he is indeed, he's describing the personal form. He's seeing that personal form right in front of him. So how can it be he'll be describing Brahman form actually? But as I told you, as we have been understand that there is no difference in Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan. All these three are the different aspects of the same entity, same absolute truth. From different angle of perception, a worshipper sees that, you know. So that there is no difference. So he is seeing the entire Bhagavan realization as a person. You know? So he has this, the bodily effulgence that is uncovered. So he is seeing through that. So Brahmaji is saying that your essence is nothing but bliss, all blissful existence. And such is your essence, that is the very essence of you, you know. It's the very swarupa you are. So, and I don't perceive anything beyond that, he's saying. So what is he saying? Exactly, that I see you as a person, thing beyond that. Mata param. So, Brahmaji justifying, he's seeing the Lord's personal form, rather than his impersonal Brahman, because it sounds like he's saying impersonal Brahman, but he's seeing through impersonal Brahman of this, of that Supreme Person. He's not seeing something. See, Jnanis, they see personal Brahman realization, they don't see anything else. Then they reject personal form of the impersonalist Jnanis. Their goal is to merge within this impersonal effulgence, and they reject that Krishna as a personal form. So clearly their perception, they don't see the effulgent person behind that. That's their problem. So Krishna's bodily effulgence is called Brahma Jyoti. So that's why he takes shelter of the Lord's personal form. So he then describes the characteristics of the Lord's form that establishes its worthiness of taking shelter now. Why is taking shelter? So now he's continuing in the third verse actually. Next PowerPoint. So, uniqueness of this form. So here this verse, Srila Swami is explaining further. Remember in the second half of that verse, let's take the verse again. The second half of this verse, Pashyami, and I am seeing Vitra Srijam Ekam Avishwam. Ekam, so he's saying that Ekam means the uniqueness of your form, that's Ekam, or the supreme object of worship. Why is he saying that? Because he is the creator of the universe, Vishwa Srijan. Because remember, he is offering prayer to Garbhadaksha Vishnu, and Garbhadaksha Vishnu form is involved in the process of creation. First in Mahavishnu, from Mahavishnu's multiple universes are created, and each and every universe is further expansion as Garbhadaksha Vishnu enters, and that expansion also further into Kshiradaksha Vishnu and every atom of the universe and every living entity's heart he enters. So these are all talking about creation, you know. So he's offering prayers to Garbhadaksha Vishnu there, like that, you know. So that's why he's saying you are the creator of the universe, you know. Therefore this form that I'm seeing is not the universe, Avishwam. So how is that, how to understand that? So basically he's saying, remember there is a creator and his creation. A creator is clearly different from this creation. It cannot be part of that creation. Something, when someone creates, he's not part of that, because he existed before even that creation. That's the very definition of creator. So the same way the Lord says you are creating this universe, but at the same time so that's when you are Vishnu Srijam, that you are creating this great cosmic manifestation. At the same time, you yourself are Avishwam. You are not the part of the creation, and that is the answer to what Krishna might be objecting to him. To how do you say that even that I am the creator of the universe, and so there is a material universe and there is no material change within me? So that's why he's saying that you are completely out of it. They are within you, but you are not in touch of that. That's what he's saying there, you know. So he's a direct answer to the Krishna's objection that you are Avishwam. So creation is you are not part of that. So the entire creation exists within you, and you are also within creation, but you are completely aloof from that. So rather, it is a self or cause of both the senses and the nature, Bhutendra Atmaka. So it is distinct from the universe, and yourself is the cause of both the senses. So you are the source, and how you create the senses and in the sense of the sound like that. So that is Bhutatmi, Bhutendriya putting him in the senses and actually be a part of it. So Lord might then ask, then why is it that some people do not say, you are glorifying me so gloriously, you glorify me, then how come that some people really don't honor me as such? And that is, we already see that, we know that. In fact, Atul Prabhu's question was related to that particular, that how come everyone is not Krishna conscious, you know. So here Brahmaji is answering, and I'll tell you what is his answer. In that verse that we are going to, just third verse he's quoting, that's asata prasangai. Asata sangha means that is the undesirable association. Prasanga means even intense, and that's exactly when people get attracted to those phony philosophies, the atheistic philosophy, when those people who are mesmerized by those kind of philosophies that reject the existence of the Supreme, existence of the theistic principles, then obviously they will not understand you, they will not honor you. So asanta sangha, one must always give up that. When you become a devotee, that is the first important lesson we learn, that, you know, we avoid associating with those elements, those people who are not interested in Krishna consciousness, because that will take away from Krishna. We will not honor Krishna as he is. So that's what Brahmaji is saying, why some people are like that, you know, because of this asatta prasangai. Prasanga means intense association with wrong elements. That's what he's saying in this verse. Tad va idam bhuvana mangala mangalaya dhyane smarnagartam ta upasakanam tasmai namo bhagavate anuvidhem tubhyam to anadrato narak bhag bhir asat prasangai. See that? O source of the world's auspicious, you are the source. All the auspicious in the world comes from you. So he is the very source of auspiciousness. See that? Bhuvana Mangala. Bhuvana means the entire universe. And you are the auspicious of the entire universe. Is you, your form represents that. And you Mangalaya Dhyane. So you when you meditate in that, you know, we meditate on that. Then this is certainly the same form you manifested to us now. So this great auspicious form that you are manifesting to us, you are showing us that, you are revealing that form to us. So your worshippers, your devotees, in our meditation, Mangalaya Dhyane, you know, for our own welfare, so Lord is the source of auspiciousness. And when we meditate on him, then we become very auspicious also, actually. That's the point here. So we offer obeisances unto you again and again. O Lord, you are disregarded by those destined for hell. That's exactly what asatta sangha. Those who are totally engrossed in sense gratification, material pursuits, their entire life is devoted on that aspect only, and they never become Krishna conscious, and then they begin life after life after life like that, and the next life, not necessarily they come back as human, they come back in the lower animal species also, insects and so on like that, you know? So that is a degradation, you know. And because of the addiction in material pursuits, when they in a legal way they cannot satisfy their material pursuits, then they resort invariably to unlawful activities. Unlawful means that is not recommended in Shastras, that is vikarmas. So they commit sinful acts. As a result, they will end up in hellish planets also, actually. So this is how the life of those people who do not become Krishna conscious because of their blindness, in blindly following material pursuits, and they become sinful like that. So by those influenced, so people who are influenced by these kind of people, not only you yourself and one himself is doing, but even when we follow, associate with these kind of people, we become like that also. So that's what Brahmaji is even cautioning And not only one becomes like that, but even don't even associate with those kind of people. That's really very graphic way Brahmaji is explaining that, you know, why some people, even the devotees tell them, please chant Hare Krishna, come with me to go to temple, they will find all kind of excuses to refuse that, you know. It's because of that, that, see, this asada sangha comes in their way. So more we associate the devotees and detach from those asat sangha, then we become Krishna conscious. Next one. So he's very nicely established, Jiva Goswami is establishing that principle, that point, principle, that Lord's form is really the absolute reality. The absolute reality is what? Transcendental, eternal, and all-pervading aspect of it. So now, so that is the feature of Krishna. So now Jiva Goswami, what he does to illustrate that point, he is introducing here as an extension of Krishna, that is Lord Rishabhadev. You know? He's expecting partial expansion. He's not even a full expansion, just partial expansion. Rishabhadev, as we'll see, he's a Jiva Tattva. But he's Avesh Avatar, actually. Lord is invested his potencies within him, actually. In fact, Lord himself also comes within him then. So they are also transcendental. And this is given in this text 52. So Jiva Goswami now explains that the body of Srila, now this is a very, very nice example Jiva Goswami is quoting that. Because this example by which he is going to demonstrate how Krishna's body, Krishna's form, or even his expansions, forms, are eternal, and then they don't deteriorate, you know. That is what, unlike the conditioned souls like us, even though the Rishabhadev is a Jiva Tattva, but when Krishna expands directly within him, he becomes transcendental also, and his form also becomes eternal, and that is the point that he's mentioning. Now first, who is Rishabhadev? That last time is given in the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, when Vyasadeva is actually, Parishad Maharaj is describing, Subhadeva Goswami describing the Parishad Maharaj about the dynasty of the first Manu, Swayambhu Manu, first to describe the Swayambhu Manu had two sons actually, and three daughters. So he describes three daughters also, and then two sons. First he describes the younger son actually, and then the second son, the older son who first refused to become king of the universe. And because he accepted, renounced order, that is Maharaj Priyavarta. And then he was pursued after the dynasty, this younger son ends up without further issue. And then Swayam Bhumanu first asked Priyavarta to return from renounced order, to take back, come enter into Grasthi and take charge of the universe, and he refuses. Then Swayam Bhumanu appeals to Brahmaji. So then Brahmaji also pursues. Finally, Priyavarta. First, of course, Narad Muni also comes and so on like that. So I'm not going to in great detail about that. Finally, Priyavarta Maharaj was pursued because it was the direct order of the Supreme Lord himself. Brahmaji tells him that. So then he comes, you know. So in Priyavarta. Maharaj dynasty comes later, this King Nabhi. King Nabhi's son is Rishabhadev actually. Rishabhadev's mother is Meru Devi. So Rishabhadev had 100 sons actually. And the oldest being the Bharat Maharaj, that we all know, after whom the India is called Bharat Varsha. Bharat Maharaj was the eldest and he was a great, great devotee actually. You know. And the nine of the younger brothers, they become the Navayogendras. That also we heard quite a bit about that. And the 81 other, they become a great Kshatriya, all the different parts of the universe were their child. So Trivarta Maharaj dynasty plays a very important role there, you know. But here, let us talk about Rishabhdev. So Rishabhdev, after ruling his many, many years, then he decides to renounce his kingdom and his rest of the life also, and becomes and renounce everything and become mendicant, avadhuta in the forest. So what he did before going to that, he gathers all his 100 sons in an assembly. At that time, great sages all over the universe also gathers there, you know, and gives some very, very important instructions, transcendental knowledge. So one of that instruction, that verse is here, Jiva Goswami quotes that to establish this particular point, text, that Rishabhdev's body is also transcendental. And now we'll see how it is so. Next. So we'll see, read the verse, text 52. So here Rishabhdev is telling to his sons, and of course thereby is telling to all of us also actually, that idam shariram mama, this body of mine is durvibhavyam, is inconceivable, you know. Saptam hi me hridayam itra dharma, prashte krito me yat dharma, aradato hi mama rishabham prahur aryaha. Now let's try to understand that. So what he's saying, that this transcendental body looks exactly like human form, yeah, but it is not a material human body. Now, this is what's going to be difficult to understand in the beginning for you. Remember, I told you, Rishabhdev is a jiva tattva. So, by definition, jiva tattva means he must have material, and yet Rishabhdev here is claiming that he, even though it seems like he has a form, but he's saying that my body is not material, and that's inconceivable to understand that, he says, Guru Vivavim. I am not forced by nature to accept a particular type of body. Unlike us, the conditioned souls, we have to accept our body depending on our previous karmas, right? He said he didn't come here because of karmic bondage, you know. I take on a body of my own sweet will, just like Krishna also says, Atma Mayaya, you know. So here also he said that by own my free will, I come here actually. And he says, my heart is all spiritual, dharma. And I always think of the welfare of my devotees. That is the hallmark of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, within my heart can be found the prosecution's service, exactly the point, which is meant for the devotees. And far from my heart, the adharma, the religious things, are not within me. So it is in back, my back means I'm away from that. So non-devotional activities is away from him. It's not part of him. It's back. So that do not appeal to me, he says. Due to all these transcendental qualities, people generally pray to me as Rishabhadev. In fact, the very word Rishabha in Sanskrit means the very best, Rishabha. In fact, that name was given to him by his father, King Nabhi, because of his characteristics as he was born. So he says, I am, and he's claiming here, right? Outrightly, he says that I am the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself, Vasudevji, the best of all living entities. Now, let's try to understand that, you know. Why is he saying that? Next PowerPoint. So to that we must understand what is called Avesh Avatar. So he says, so here according to the commentary, Jiva Goswami quotes from Sridhar Swami, say, Idam Sridam Mama Durvibhavyam Bhavyam. What does it mean that? So this body of mine, Idam Sridam Mama, Mama means mine. Idam means this. This Sridh, this physical body of mine is actually Satchitananda, completely. Remember, we also are Satchit Ananda, but as a pure as a soul, we are also Satchit Ananda, eternality, knowledge, and bliss. But our body is not like that. Body is completely opposite. But here, just like Krishna's body and himself is non-different, so here Rishabdev is also saying that my body and me, there is no difference. My body is also Satchit Ananda. And that is inconceivable, which is difficult to grasp. Because he being a Jivatva actually. So how is it that? So despite being Jivatattva, Jivatattva means this living entity. I am one of the living entity, you know, he says. Who is supposed to have a body composed of material elements, Pancha Mahabhuta, the gross elements, and then several elements, Mano, Buddhi, Ahanka. So I am a living entity, and yet I am an empowered incarnation, Avesh Avatara. The Lord, so that we will see what is Avesh Avatara called. There are two divisions of that, you know. Nonetheless, here Rishabdev claims to have a body non-different from the Absolute Truth and calls himself Vasudev. He himself calls, he is the Supreme Personal Godhead, you know. And that is the supreme goal of life. But he does not do so, he does not say that out of simple pride or false ego, whatever that. He does not say that, or vanity or something like that. His purpose is to instruct his sons, 100 sons, on transcendental knowledge, and thereby the humanity in general, of course. So this is quite inconceivable, Guru Vibhavyam. For a mundane logic, it doesn't make sense actually, right? So to understand the statement that Rishabdev's form is indeed transcendental, shown schematically, their Avesh Avatara means the empowered jiva, empowered living entities in which Lord is invested either himself partially or his potency. That's the main difference here. So they are living entities. So there are two kinds of Avesh Avataras. One is called Bhagavad Avesh Avatara, in which Lord directly pervades within him. Okay? Lord himself comes, versus the Bhagavat Shakti Avesh Avatara, where Lord, instead of Lord himself, his potencies enters actually, right? That's the difference. Pervasion as an accord of one of the Lord's potencies, that is what difference is there. So Bhagavat Avesh Avatara, in which Lord personally enters within him, a portion of it. So naturally then these avataras claim identify themselves directly with the Lord himself, and that is the example Lord Rishabdev comes in that. So Lord Rishabdev is a Bhagavad Avesh Avatara. So difference is the Lord himself or Lord's potency. Now one might ask, what is the difference between Lord and his potencies? They are one and the same, right? But still there is a difference. Remember that we talked many times in the past, there is no difference as such. You cannot differentiate with the person and his potencies, his attributes, and yet there's a difference. There's a person who possesses that, and the potency itself. So that is the difference between that. So that's what we are seeing here. So Bhagavad Avesh Avatara is the Lord's potencies are there in that, and they identify themselves as a devotee of the Lord. They never say that I am the Lord. That's a big difference. So example here is Narad Muni, the four Kumaras and so on like that. So they never will ever say that we are the Lord, because they know that they are the devotees of the Lord actually. You know? Now, where Bhagavad Avesh Avataras, because Lord himself is there, and that's why they can claim that they are the Supreme Lord. They represent the Supreme Lord. Revati Mataji has a question, but I will I'll say the end of the class. Let me complete first. Next problem theory. So there is Avesh Avatara. Then we'll see how the Vishnu Tattvas differ that. So first, let's see. So now, the point that Lord Rishabdev is saying that my body, even though I am a Jiva Tattva, my body is transcendental just like the Lord. So I am the Lord, he's saying that. So in fact, that is to demonstrate that point. Here is the verse, Jiva Goswami quotes, 5, 6, 8, 5th canto, 6th chapter, 8th verse. Atha Samir Veda, so here we are going to see that point, how his body is transcendent, you know. Samir Veda Viduta Venu Vikarshana Jata Ugra Dava Nala Asatata Dava Nala Satat Vanam Ale Lihanaha Sa Tena Dadaha. So Samir means the wind. Vega, the blowing wind actually, you know. Atha, therefore, this blowing wind, how does a blazing fire in the forest takes place, you know, and suddenly takes place when there is a fierce wind is there. So that wind, fierce wind, Samir Veda, what it makes, Viduta Venu means the, from which the flute comes, right? So that means the bamboo forest, you know, the bamboo trees. So the bamboo trees, the branches of the bamboos, they sort of, with each other, interact, you know, with a great wind, great force. So with that, then the fire begins that, you know. Jata means the fire originates, takes birth. Ugra means intense fire, the blazing fire. Dava Nala is blazing fire. The entire elephant, the forest becomes blazing, you know, with the fire. And then burns the forest. Tenasa the Dava. So with that, the all the and everything, and thus the animals living in the forest, they also get burnt. So the blazing forest fire generated by bamboo shoots rubbing each other, then animals, each other emits strong winds, engulfed and burned the forest along with him. So that is the point here, along with him. Him means the King Lord Rishabdev. So there are two ways looking at it. When you say the Sanskrit phrase here, Tadadaha, means the fire burnt the forest along with him. Him means the Lord Rishabdev. So depends. So you see, it has two meanings actually. The fire burnt the forest along with Lord Rishabdev was going within the forest, like the Rishabdev's body also got burned. So how could he say that my body is transcendental, you know? But here Jiva Goswami says there are two meanings to it. Now, and remember, previously also we came across when Mayavadi philosophy we refutes, when Mayavadis quote the same Shastra to prove their point of view, same Shastric verses. So then Jiva Goswami argues, this is in Tattva Sandarbha, he quotes the verses from Vedanta Sutra actually, that when there is a direct meaning of a verse, that do not tie in with the facts, then one must take a secondary meaning, you know? So here primary meaning is that fire burned the forest along with Rishabdev, which means that Rishabdev was also got burnt within the fire along with the forest, right? That's what it means. But when that doesn't mean, because we know that it defies this particular fact that Lord Rishabdev's body is transcendental. So when that doesn't make sense, then we must accept a secondary meaning. Secondary meaning here, that along with, so here you have a subject and the object, right? and the word God is burning. Subject is fire. So if you take Rishabhdev as an object, just like the forest, forest is an object. So either you take that as also an object, then of course it means that Rishabhdev's body got burnt. But if you also take Rishabhdev also as a secondary subject, then you can say that the fire, along with the help of Rishabhdev, along with Rishabhdev, they both burnt the forest. That is the way Jiva Goswami actually interprets, because the primary meaning doesn't make sense. The secondary way of it reconciles this opposing elements here. So that is the point that Jiva Goswami is making here. So the fire burned this. So fire burned along with him. Does not necessarily mean that the fire burned the trees along with Rishabhdev. Rather, the Lord accompanied the fire in burning the trees. So here, Rishabhdev is also part of the subject, that the forest is an object, you know. So fire burned the flora and fauna of those bodies of the forest, trees, animals, and so on like that. Whether Rishabhdev burned their subtle bodies, meaning he liberated them. Remember, I told you many times that we have subtle body, we have gross body and subtle body. When we die, we leave the gross body here, made of the sthabhutas, documents. But the subtle body, mano, buddhi, ahankar, goes along with the soul in the next life. It goes to the next bodily form and then continues that. That as long as one, that soul has to resolve his karmas in different species of life forms, 8.4 million species of life forms, he continues that. But there is a time that comes when the soul becomes qualified to become liberated. At that time, his subtle body also drops then, you know. So then there is, so manabuddhi ahankar also dissolves, and then there is no more necessity of super soul also. Super soul is only our existence during this material existence. No? So here he is saying that Lord Rishabhdev helped when the fire burned the gross bodies of the forest trees along with the animals residing there. So Rishabhdev, out of his compassion, he even burned the subtle bodies. That means he liberated all the trees directly from the trees. See that? This is one example. That you don't have to, generally by and large, all different forms first must exhaust before it becomes liberated. But Lord can, by his mercy, by his compassion, can do this directly also actually. So this is one direct thing. So here Lord Rishabhdev, he liberated all the trees and as well as the animals and so on like that directly. So now there's another objection might come through that. Okay, that explanation is pretty good, sounds very good. And that explains that even the Lord being a Jiva Tattva, he indeed had a transcendental body. But what about at some point Lord Shandava had expressed his desire, Sah Galevaram Jihasu. He desired to give up his body. He says to his sons also, you know, in that one of the verses, 5, 6, 6. Saha Kalevaram Jihasu, I would like to give up my body, you know, he says that. How do we explain that? So he was burned in the forest fire. Jiva Goswami translates here as the material world rather than the body. So Kalevaram is body, that's the direct meaning, but it also means, but Kalevaram also means actually the material world itself. So he is basically saying that I like to, this material world, give up this material world. That's what he's trying to say there. Lord appears and disappears. He never takes birth or dies. That's the point here. So you see, using this example of Rishabhdev, here Jiva Goswami is demonstrating clearly that even Lord's partial expansions, their form and their body is also transcendental, eternal. And they are indeed even in partial expansions, also eternal, transcendental. So now let's see the difference between Jivatattva and Vishnu. So here, next verse, Krishna's body is transcendental and most beautiful. So this is now, this time after that, you know, continuing. So if Krishna's partial expansions have transcendental forms, then needless to say that the body of the original and complete personal absolute, Bhagavan Shri Krishna, obviously he is also transcendental. He is a full verse from Bhishmadev, spoken by Bhishmadev. Now Bhishmadev, actually this is in the Mahabharata world, Bhishmadev was pierced through Arjuna's arrows, so he was lying on the bed of arrows actually. And because he had his Ichha Mrityu, he could decide his death by his own choice actually. So when the war is all over and everything, he was waiting for the right time, Uttarayan. So that time Krishna himself came along with the Pandavas to visit Bhishmadev, and Krishna knew that he is about to give up his body. So Krishna personally comes and shows his form to Bhishmadev. So Bhishmadev that time he offers these prayers to him, and he's saying, he's pointing his finger at Krishna and telling all the Pandavas, Yudhishthira Maharaj, that look, this is the same Krishna that we saw at your Rajasuya Yajna. When Yudhishthira Maharaj performed Rajasuya Yajna to declare that he is the supreme ruler of the entire earth, so he performs Rajasuya Yajna. At that time, all the great personalities, kings, sages, all the humans, they got gathered at that time. You know? So, and of course, you invite guests, you worship the guest first, perform puja, you know. So at that time the question usually comes that who to be worshipped. First puja has to be offered to who. And if you put a wrong person, then it's a great dishonor to others actually. So at that time, there was unanimous decision, Krishna was chosen as the Agra Puja, the first person to be worshipped. So he is the best qualified person for that. Unanimously, except one personality, that was of course Shishupal, who was so intensely jealous of right from the beginning actually, you know. And of course that time he was killed, you know, when he started abusing Krishna and so on like that. But point here, he's saying that during that Agra Puja, that Krishna's form was shown, that is the same Krishna's form that he's saying that here we are seeing right now, we are witnessing, is the same form Krishna, you know, he's saying. Specifically referring to Krishna's body. Bhishma at that point is leaving his body on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, and so he glorifies Krishna's form, bodily form, as the most attractive, most worshipable, and most rare sight. The Lord's beauty is not material. Okay, next problem. So that verse is right here actually. Muni Gana Nripa Varya Sankale Atta Sadasi Yudhishthira Rajasuya Esham Arhanam Upapeda Ikshaniya. Ikshaniya means just look at it, just see. Mama Drishi, that what I'm seeing. Just look. Gochar Esha Aniratma. As Yudhishthira Maharaj Rajasuya Yajna, there was a great assembly of eminent sages and mighty kings. Muni Gana, all the sages, Nripa, all the kings. All different personalities, the great personalities, they all honored him to choose him as Agra Puja, you know, the recipient of Agra Puja. And they were all looking at him, you know, and by offering him this first worship. Now this same personality has again appeared before my very eyes actually. So that's what he's glorifying him, you know. So Bhishma spoke while awaiting his death on the bed of arrows. As he recalls the Rajasuya sacrificial arena, everyone marveled at the Lord's beauty, Ikshaniya. See that? They were all looking at him in the Rajasuya Yajna. So Krishna had entered himself with a text, Abhiratma. That's what the meaning of that. So this indicated he exists everywhere at all times, but had happened or manifested to give pleasure to his devotee Bhishmadev. So even though Krishna is all around, at that particular point he made it a point to come right where the at the time when Bhishmadeva was about to give up his body, because Bhishmadeva was his great devotee, although he was in a Veera Rasa actually. So Bhishmadeva actually fought against Krishna in the war. So it is the characteristic of the Lord's transcendental body that he can manifest to someone at his will while simultaneously keeping him concealed from others. So even that Rajasuya arena, Krishna showed his beautiful transcendental form as he is to only very few personalities. That point is point in the last week's class I told you that, and the point, because when says that Krishna is an old spiritual form, cannot be seen by others, by those with material eyes. However, by his mercy to his devotees, he shows that form actually. So devotees with their material eyes also can visualize him by his mercy. But the large, vast bulk of the humanity, they cannot see him, you know. But here, I see again, so the point I raised at that point, how come when Krishna was on this planet, at that time everybody could see him? The point here was that, as Sarat Prabhu had that puzzle, that because everybody could see, but they could not see him as he is originally, that he is a Supreme Personality of Godhead, only few personalities. So here, see, that is another great feature of Lord's feature, that he can selectively manifest himself as he is. Even in the great assembly, only few people at a time can see him as he is. Others can just see him as just like an ordinary human. So he could conceal himself from his Maya potency, by his, the curtain of his Maya. Naham Prakasham Sarvasva, this is Bhagavad Gita by now. Next PowerPoint. So here Bhagavan Shri Krishna is, so here the difference between that we just discussed about the Avesh Avatara, that are the Jiva Tattvas basically, with Lord's potency or Lord himself, is empowering. But here, the Vishnu Tattvas, so there is a Swayam Bhagavan, and he is, we saw the examples when he married 16,000, so he replicated himself 16,000. At the same time, he married all these 100,000 princesses in 16,100 palaces and doing different things. So there, those are called Prakasa expansions. In Vrindavan, of course, he multiplied himself in Rasa Leela. And then there is a other expansion called Tad Ekatma Rupa. So these expansions include Vilasa forms, such as Diana and so on like that. And then there is in that with the Swa Amsha manifestations. So his partial Amsha is there in that. You know? So, and that is Sat Matsya Avatar, Leela Avatar, you know? Fish incarnation. The partial form is there in that. So there is no difference between Krishna and Kasa manifestation, but his Vilasa forms are almost equal to him in opulence. While his Swamsa manifestations have much less manifestations, the Matsya Avatar and so on, very small part of it. Amsa of Amsa, you know. Well, Avesha Avatara and called Jivatavas or living entities, they are partial expansions. So this is the difference between Vishnu and Jivatavas. Next PowerPoint. So now Devaki's prayers. So here also she is also making the same point. This is, remember I explained to you in the beginning, that this is the time when Lord first appeared in the prison cell to Devaki and Vasudevji as four-armed Narayana form, and then he became a human baby actually. So Jiva Goswami cites those prayers that is offered by Devaki at that time in Krishna's cell. Satvam Sakshat Vishnu Adhyatma Deepa, she says that. So we are not saying, Jesus is not showing the entire verse here. No? Satvam, so yourself here, Sakshat directly, Vishnu Adhyatma Deepa. So he is showing us as Lord Vishnu, who is the lamp of the spirituality. So very spiritual form. same form which is you, Vishnu himself, the lamp of spiritual truth. The form of Vishnu before her is the same one described in the Vedas as unmanifest avyakta and as the original cause, Adya. So she said that you are the Sakshat, that means you are the directly the same, the original cause, directly perceivable. The Lord is Adhyatma Deepa or spiritual lamp, meaning everything is illuminated by His radiance. He is the control of everyone's senses, mind and body, thus there is no reason to... So that's how he's saying, when there's a Lord, you know, directly there, even the fear, personified fears of Him, you know. So why should I have fear of Kamsa? That's the point she's making. So Jiva Goswami then quotes a verse from Padma Purana when Srila Vyasadeva himself offers prayers to Krishna here, you know, after he performs the undergoing severe austerities and penances to please the Lord. So after a long time, Krishna comes within his mind and offered him a boon. So ask him, ask me anything and I'll grant you. So then he expresses a desire. He says that, and he says this verse, Tam aham drashtum ichhami, that I would like to see you with my own eyes, Chakshubhyam Madhusudana. Oh Madhusudana, I would like to see you with my own eyes. Yat tata satyam param jagat yonim jagat pati. And that is what the way in the Shastra Vedas he hears actually. Vadanti eda shirash chakshusam natha mea tata. So, O Lord Madhusudana, I wish to see you with my own eyes. And what form you want to see? The form that is described in the Vedas and Upanishads, you know, as the Supreme Brahman, you know, that's what form you want to see. The source and master of the universe. O Lord, let that form become visible to my sight. So, those both Vyasadeva and Devaki say the same, that the Lord's form is described in the as avyakta, unmanifest, adya, the original, nirvishesha, without any attributes, and so on. Therefore, it establishes the Krishna body is, so basically, that seems like a Brahman form, right? But Brahman is actually Lord's bodily effulgence, Brahma Jyoti. So that is what they are describing here, actually. No? So it establishes the body is self-luminous and transcendental to the modes of material nature. It is the absolute reality and reconciles all the apparent contradictory statements of the Vedas. So even though they apparently saying they are like Brahman, but they are praying Lord's personal form, but they are seeing that a Brahman is part and parcel of one different in Krishna's form, personal form. Is it that? But the Krishna fits exactly the Brahman form. You know? Next PowerPoint. But then clearly they don't see the distinction between Brahman and Bhagavan. They are one and the same, and truly that is exactly the point. So as worshipper, they reach to that highest platform level. So now the final verse, text 55. So here again, the point Jiva Goswami is making here, that just like giving the example used by illustrating the he's saying the same way here, that even the partial expansions of Krishna are also transcendental. So it's again the same example he's citing, but Lord Brahma, when he became bewildered in Vrindavan, this child Krishna was playing with his covered boys and having lunch at that time, you know. So that when he stole Lord's covered boys and cows, and Lord then replaced them by his own forms, multiplied forms, getting forms, and they are all Vishnumurtis that we saw that, you know. But Vishnumurti is actually that what Brahmaji saw didn't mean that they were Brahman aspect of it. The Brahma was actually the form with his own eyes, very forms that he saw. So he did not see just like a deity form or anything like that. He actually saw living forms, you know, with his own eyes. Next PowerPoint. So that is this verse here at the time. Satya Jnanam Ananda Ananda Matra Ek Rasa Murtaya अस्पष्ट गुरी महात्म्य अपि ही उपनिषद दृशाम the Vishnu forms the embodiments of the one absolute sense constituted of unalloyed consciousness and infinite bliss form. So what he saw, those replicating forms of voice and the cows, they were exactly the same form that he saw Vishnu, as the Lord Vishnu, you know, that he saw that. And that's what he's describing, the features of that form actually. You know? The supreme consciousness, infinite bliss and so on like that. So the infinite glory was certainly untouched even by those blessed with the vision of the Upanishads. So Lord's forms are Satya, Jnana, Ananda and the Moksha. These are the features that he's describing. What's Lord's form? Satya, all truth. Jnanam, knowledge. Ananta, Ananta means immeasurable. Ananda Matra, and just bliss alone, you know, nothing else but bliss. So Jiva Goswami also cites a verse from Varaha Purana also, basically he's making the same point, you know. Hare Krishna. So this is from Varaha Purana. Sarva Nitya Shashvatasya Dehas Tasya Paratmana Upadaya Rahita Neivan Prakritya Jaha Vachita Param Ananda Sindoha Jnana Matramsha Cha Sarvatah Deha Dehi Vidachar Na Ishvare Vidyate Pachita. All the forms of the Supreme Lord are eternal. Same point basically Jivas are making. So I'm not spending too much time to explain that verse. It's self-explanatory. All the forms of the Supreme Lord are eternal. Sarve Nityaha. Unchanging. Shashvata. Shashvata means eternal and same. Devoid of all that is either rejectable or acceptable. Because they are never the product of material nature. Prakriti Jaha. Jaha means something ja. So Prakriti means made of material nature. They are not like that. Their forms are fluid mass of highly concentrated supreme bliss. Param Ananda Sandoha. Condensed bliss. Jnana Matra. Knowledge, all pure knowledge. And Sarvatra, everywhere. And embodied does not exist. So the dualization of body and embodied does not exist. So we are conditioned, we are separate from the body. We are spirit soul, but we have this material body. Whereas Lord, body and himself, is non-different. You know. They are both spiritual. So Varaha Purana says the same thing. Next one. So I think this is the last one. Sorry. So Jiva Goswami, so this is a wonderful in this chapter, very nicely demonstrated that very same feature of Krishna, his bodily form, partial expansion, giving an example of Lord Rishabhdev showing the same thing exactly. So even the Lord Rishabhdev was a Jiva Tattva, so he's supposed to have a material body, but because Lord himself directly entered within him, so his body also became all spiritual, you know. Actually, in Chaitanya Charitamrita also we see that example of Ramananda, Ramananda Roy, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu describes how Ramananda Roy, when he sent a person to him, Ramananda Roy at that time was engaged teaching young girls, for preparing them for a drama, you know, and how to dance and how to show a particular acting and so on like that. They were completely naked, and in fact he massaged their body with the oil and so on like that, and yet Ramananda Roy, of course he had a material body, and still he was completely all spiritual, nothing, he did not get affected by a female body and so on like that. So that time Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tells that other person that see, his body is all, devotees of that caliber, their bodies are not material, they are all spiritualized, you know. So even a material body can become spiritualized, that's the point here, become transcendental. So the modes of rajas and tama, the passion and ignorance, doesn't act on that. They are pure mode of goodness, vishuddha sattvam. Okay, so I'll stop here and see if there are questions. Basically, a very simple point here. I don't know if Atul Prabhu is here now. Rajasi Rinkam. So I'll answer this question later. I'm trying to read this chat window. Devati Madhuri, when there is it, where it says Krishna, he is Jiva Tattva Prabhuji. So, because he is Avesha Uttara by definition he is Jiva Tattva, but he is Bhagavat Avesha Uttara, so directly Supreme Personality of God directly pervades within his body. That's where it is said that. Okay, Bhakran Prabhu is helping me here. He said slide 16 has everything here. Sharat Prabhu always asks wonderful questions here. Can you please tell which all the 24 avatars are worshipped with tulsi leaves? Prabhuji, he asked me too much. All the 24 avatars, all Vishnu tattvas are, of course, Lord Tulsi Dala is very, very dear to Lord Vishnu. So all the 24 avatars of Lord Vishnu, they are all Vishnu tattvas, and of course some of them are Avesha avatars also. So they are all worshipped with tulsi leaves. And Lord Vishnu's devotees, Lord Krishna's devotees also, they also worship tulsi. So tulsi dal is here. So it's not too surprising here. So instead of going through each of these avatars, they are all of them the same. It has been stated in the Shastra that Krishna never leaves Vrindavan. Then Vasudev Krishna of Mathura and Devaki Nandana Krishna of Dwarka are same as Nandanandana Vrindavan Krishna. Is also 16,100 expansion of Dwarka in Rasleela. Yes, Prabhuji, as I told you many times, Swayam Krishna, the original personal Godhead, Shri Krishna, is the avatari, as we saw in today's class also. He is the bija, he is the seed from which all other hundreds and hundreds of expansions emerge. But the, all the other expansions are within the original personal Godhead, Shri Krishna, directly. Thank you, Prabhuji. So when we saw that Dwarka Krishna, there Mathura, there the expansion, that they are not the Vrindavan Krishna always remains in Vrindavan, because he always interacts with his associates, close associates. Whereas what you saw in Dwarka and Mathura, they are the Vasudev Krishna actually. And all the demons that were killed, that also by other forms. Original Krishna doesn't take part in all these things. Vrindavan Krishna. And the 16,000 expansions that we taught, they are Krishna himself's Prakasha expansions. Same as Rasa Leela. So you understood that point very clearly. Thank you very much. Are there other questions? Abhay Shatul Prabhu are today here. Is there a very interesting question now?
One request.
I'm sorry, what? Makarand Prabhu?
Yes, only one small request.
Baba!
Go ahead, Prabhuji.
Baba!
When there has been advice that Asanga Sankra, that means whenever it is advised that do not mix with the people who are not Krishna conscious or who are not intended for being Krishna conscious. When we hear this, in contrast with our preaching interest that we have to associate or we have to, you know, get in touch with the people, I would request you to elaborate more onto this. For the preaching mission, definitely you'll have to come across those people. So how do we protect ourselves in such a situation?
Thank you, Makarapu. Very good point here, Chilpli. Now, when we say don't associate, means don't immediately associate, you know. So we have to, as for the preaching purpose, we have to interact with the worldly minded people to help them. But that association is not the kind of association we do with other of our fellow devotees. So it's not an intimate association, you know. So that is the difference it makes. That's the point that Srila Prabhupada also explains many times throughout his commentaries, you know. So it is not an intimate association just for... So when they become devotee, we help them to become a devotee. As and when they become devotees, then more and more you associate with them, you know. But those worldly minded people who are not really interested in coming to Krishna consciousness, then you avoid associating with them. Again, there are devotees also, different kinds of devotees, different classes of devotees. Uttama adhikaris, uttama, the topmost platform, those who are intermediary, and those who are neophytes. So neophyte devotees are recommended not to take any chances at all, because if they try to preach and try to associate with those worldly kind of people, then there's a risk that they might become affected by that. That's why to avoid, that's why it's called asata sangha, tyaga, you know. But those who are advanced devotees, they do, and because of their potency of their own devotional advancement, they are not addressed. In fact, they help even the asata sanghas also eventually become devotees, because by the dint of their devotional service, and Krishna's potencies are there within them, you know. So that's the difference. When we preach, even the preaching also, if we are on an intermediate neophyte stage, further restrictions are there. And now, people, those who are in intermediary level, they understand that, you know. They help sometimes to come to Krishna conscious platform, but at the same time they recognize their own limitations also, actually, you know. So one has to really bear this thing in mind when we do preaching. So point here to make a suffice that we don't associate intimately with those undesirable elements. Slowly, gradually, by the Krishna's mercy, when they start chanting Hare Krishna, then they gradually become purified, and then of course more and more they are encouraged to associate with devotees, because they are becoming devotees. So then that's a different situation. All right. Thank you, Makaran Prabhu. So if there are no further questions, comments, then I'm going to request Dishana to conclude the class with Narasimha prayer. Hare Krishna, Dishana, go ahead please.